This is Feed, Play, Love, a podcast especially for the parents and carers of small children. I'm your host, Siobhan Hunt. Over the years, I've spoken to some really interesting people about parenting, and this next interview is one from our collection. I hope you enjoy it.
Before you became a parent, chances are you would have known our next guest through her acting career in shows like Home and Away, All Saints, and Love My Way. After having children, you'll know her through her work on Play School and through her music. Think songs like Watermelon, I Like to Sing, and Dinosaur Roar. I am, of course, speaking about Justine Clarke, the actor, musician, and author loved by parents and children alike. Hi, Justine. Welcome to Kindling Conversations.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Congratulations on your new album, Pajama Jam, your fifth, I understand. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what it was like writing this album? I mean, particularly with three kids, do you work from home or do you run to a studio and lock the door?
No, I dream of running to a studio and locking the door, but that's never going to happen. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think, how could that happen in my life? No. Move on. I have two writing partners and we had been, you know, kicking around the idea of a lullabies album for actually about 3 years. And back and forth sort of writing. So I write on Skype, which I actually think is a great way to write because you can stay in your pajamas, but you're still collaborating. And I don't know, I think there's a certain freedom in not actually being in the room with somebody, but being able to see them. So you're still connected to them, but you're not going to offend them so much, you know.
Not in each other's space.
Yeah. So I found it very productive, actually. I've written a lot. So my main writing partner lives in New Zealand. And we Skype regularly, you know.
And do your kids know when you're on Skype to leave mum alone?
Well, usually I don't. I usually do it when they're out of the house because otherwise they want to come in and have a chat and, you know, or it's noisy or whatever. I just can't. It's not going to work like that. So, yeah, it's usually when they're not there. So that's really it. And, you know, I just find a little corner. It's just a little spot.
Bunker down.
Somewhere.
Put a blanket over you. You can't see me. I mean, how does that change in your creativity? Because you've been doing music throughout your career. And before children, as we all know, life is very different. Creatively, does that mean like, you know, once upon a time you might have had an idea or wanted to write a lyric and you could just sit down and do it? Are you having to control your creativity in a way you didn't before?
Yes, and funnily enough, I've been more productive creatively since I've had children. I think I've realised that I need a deadline, actually, you know, and that there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sort of uncool about having a deadline, you know, or there's it's actually that's the sort of the stress and the pressure of that that actually kind of pushes out an idea and forms an idea properly, and then. You know, you can move on and do more. So in that way, I've been a lot more prolific and I've had a reason to finish things, whether it be, you know, to put food on the table or to finish something before the kids get home because I've only got a certain amount of time to do it. And this is my only chance for this kind of outlet and I really want to produce something from it. Whatever it is, it's given me motivation, I think, that I didn't have before. I didn't have a reason to do it. I liked doing it, but I would often question why I was doing it.
Yep.
And that would take over a lot more from the actually just the enjoyment of creating something. So, you know, I'm so pleased I had children, you know, selfishly for that reason.
Being more productive.
Yeah.
That's great. And what about touring? You're about to start an Australia-wide tour with this album. Do you ever take your family on the road with you? And what's that like? Because I'm assuming that your kids are at school, so you can't always have them with you. What's it like touring with a family?
Well, two are now in high school, so we can't tour the way that we have in the past. But they have come on the road quite a lot with me, particularly early on when I did more regional touring, which I don't tend to do now. I really only do capital cities just because of, you know, basically because of family. But when we were regionally touring and it was in the holidays, which it often is, they would come on the road and they would, you know, work at the merch desk.
Awesome.
Or, you know, there was one show where at one point in the show there were four bubble machines that would come on, and Nina, who was then probably five or six. She was in charge of turning on the bubble machine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they've always been a part of the shows in some, you know, in some way. And being in a bus, like a tour bus, it's really fun. You know, we do the quiz with the band.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nina would read out the questions. And, yeah, Joe really loves working in any capacity, whether it's backstage or, you know, at the merch desk.
Is it part of their pocket money?
Yes, they do get paid.
If
they work well, they do.
Yeah, nice one. I like that. And so do they get a say in your tour rider? And what is it actually like? Imagining it's a bit different.
It's really different. Yeah, it's really different. And if you really want to know, it's nuts.
Yeah, nuts.
It's nuts and fruit and tea. There has to be tea. And usually...
No tea. Justine Clark is not getting out of bed.
I can't.
No.
But usually we bring it ourselves. There's no rider. There's no rider. It's not
very good. We've got to Jaro speak to your management. Something's got to change there. The Kindling's philosophy about music for kids is that it just needs to be good. It doesn't need to be simple, repetitive, or boring. And it feels like you have that same approach in your music. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think kids have an innate sense of good music, you know. I think they're natural musicians and they naturally connect to it, and it definitely doesn't have to be children's music for them to like it at all. In fact, I think that, you know, a pop song, a 3-minute pop song is just perfect for kids. It's just the right length. It's got a great structure. To my kids, I play them all kinds of music, but I think it's a really good time to expose kids to a whole lot of different kinds of music.
Which actually brings me to my next question, and that is, do you still sing to your kids? I know probably not the teenagers. They might be telling you to shut up. Yeah. But when they were younger, did you sing to them? And how many of your songs on your albums are inspired by your own children?
Probably this latest one is inspired by my own children probably the most, I think, because it is a lullaby album, and that really was the time when I would sing to my kids more than any other time. We never had any, you know, proper sleeping routines. So it was really just whatever works.
When you're in bed, if I sing to you.
Yeah, and if I'm here and I'm singing and it's dark, and eventually you will go to sleep because eventually you will. And at least I'm occupied doing something I like too.
Exactly. And have they ever said, I'll never forget my mum who has sung to all of our kids. So there's 3 kids in my family. She's looked after all of our kids and sung them all to sleep. And she always sings them Rock and Roll and Ride. Morning Town Train.
Yeah, Morning Town Ride. Yeah.
So Morning Town Ride. And she has sung that all the time to all of them. And it made me very nostalgic. And then she told me this really funny story about how my niece, one night when she was singing to her, rolled over and said to her, "Nana, stop singing. I don't want that song anymore." Have your kids ever actually said, "Mum, I'm over it. I don't want Watermelon anymore"? Not that that's a sleeping song.
No, numerous times, particularly my youngest. No, my youngest does not want to hear me sing. But a lot of the time, I think for them, singing for me was often about me being away from them. So, and I don't know, kids have a kind of, I don't know, it's a perverse sort of pleasure in like stopping you from singing. I don't know what it is, but it seems very common. And they want to stop you from doing something that they can see is quite pleasurable to you. I don't understand it, but they've all done it to me, all of them, you know, at various times. But actually now my daughter is learning the piano, and she's learning to accompany herself on the piano. And sometimes she'll sing, and I'll sing with her. Just quietly sing, and she doesn't tell me to stop.
Oh, nice.
So that's good. I try and sing a little harmony just so she might get the idea of, you know, how to stay on your melody if someone's singing a harmony. She's never told me to stop.
So. Oh, good one. That's nice. You're also releasing a book and a CD accompanying that book based around the song "A You're Adorable." I'm talking a lot about my mum in this interview. I'm not quite sure why, but she also sang that song. And I love it. I always get lost when I get up to E, excitable or something. It's quite an old song. How did you come to it? And have I got any chance of getting you to sing a little bit of it?
Sure. Try stopping me. So it's an alphabet song, and it's also a love song. And it goes like this. A, you're adorable. B, you're so beautiful. C, you're a cutie full of charms. D, you're a darling, and E, you're exciting, and F, you're a feather in my arms. And on it goes.
Oh, that's gorgeous. No, I don't sing it like that.
I think the thing I love about this song, apart from the fact that it was apparently the first song I ever sung as a child, but I just love the idea that there are so many songs out there that are romantic. You know, they're love songs, but they're songs that you want to sing particularly to your baby. And this is one that I sang to my babies as well. And I just wanted to put another alphabet song out there that was not as dry maybe as some of the others.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's so lovely. Yeah. Do you ever sing songs now that make you cry? Because I've noticed that it's ridiculous songs that I would never even think would make me cry, but they just, something in them triggers me to feel nostalgic about my children, especially growing up, or, you know, thinking about them when they were little babies. Have you ever had a moment, even on stage, where a song has made you get emotional?
Oh, I'm so many songs make me emotional. Music, I think, connects to a sort of primal part of us and to our heart. It speaks in another language, and I think there are so many times, particularly after you have kids, where you just feel, I don't know, quite vulnerable, I suppose, about your children, but also about your parents. And I don't know, it just triggers something. I think as an actor too, it's kind of opened up a whole other area of my kind of range, I guess, because I have a kind of a more empathy towards things than I did before.
It's interesting you say that, because one of the latest roles that you've played in Time of Our Lives is a stepmother with her own children and dealing with what a lot of families deal with these days, which is different kinds of makeups for families. What was it like playing that role and having to empathise with such a complex situation?
Mm. Well, Bernadette was, you know, she's quite evolved in that way.
She's very evolved. I was watching that going, is Justine like that too? Mm. She's evolved as Bernadette, because I'm believing she is.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good acting then. look, that was just great. And I think, I mean, I miss that show. I think there's other great shows on TV that do reflect sort of modern family life. But I really thought that one just dealt with, you know, the everyday issues that we face that for us are really vital and really important, and to see that reflected on television is really helpful.
Particularly the challenges. I think that's one thing parents often feel they're dealing with it on their own. That I never forget, there was a scene where you're trying to get the kids, the twins, to bed, and they wouldn't. I think it was something like they wanted to wear this swimming costume to bed.
Yes.
And you asked someone to help. And I remember watching that going, those writers and actors have children. They know what's going on. And it is just the chaos of having a family. It was quite nice to see that.
Yeah, I think it's important to see that reflected and to know that it's normal. Yeah, because you do feel isolated as a parent. You do feel like you're on your own, strangely enough, when you know there are so many other people out there. But you know, you're obviously housebound and you're tired and, you know, you want to do the right thing, but you find yourself screaming at them and you think, how did I get here? Am I the only one that does this?
Yes.
Is this wrong?
Friend of mine said she'd shut the windows before she'd scream at a kid so the neighbours wouldn't be too judging.
Well, I've been at a swimming pool and been recognised for being a play school presenter and trying to get my kids out of the pool,
oh, no.
You know, trying not to lose it. Get out of the pool now! You know, you can see people looking at me. Anyway,
that's Justine Clark. Oh, we better write to the telly.
Yeah.
So, speaking of play school, what do you love about working on that show? Because you've been with them for over a decade now, right?
Yeah, 15 years actually.
Wow.
Yeah, which is a long time for me. You know, in terms of commitment to any one thing, apart from my marriage, which I'm also quite proud of. Well, I think it's history. So the fact that it's generational and that it's turning 50 next year. And so I think for a big part for me was, I think, standing on the shoulder of giants. So people like Noni Hazelhurst and John Hamblin and Don Spencer and John Waters and people that I grew up watching as a kid and then as a young actor watching these amazing performers and even then knowing what skill was involved in it
and how entertaining they were for half, you know, for a whole half hour, and how I knew it wasn't a show for me. I was 10, 11, 12, but I was still drawn to it in some way. And a lot of it had to do with their great storytelling skills, their great performance skills. So I think I learned a lot from them as a young actor. So to be in their company and to be part of the same contribution, I suppose, to the cultural life of Australia, is that means a lot to me. I think it is a really important show. I think it tackles all kinds of, you know, of issues, and it treats children as complex beings, and it doesn't talk down to them, and as beings that are capable of doing everything. And it's not about sort of teaching them to do things. It's about reinforcing what they can do, and about them being part of a community. And I'm enormously proud of it as a program, and its worth it's vital, I think. I really do.
And what's the challenges? Because I think you touched on a few things there that I think when parents watch the program, they might think it's really straightforward. As a journalist myself looking at it, I think, oh my God, I don't know how they managed to keep such amazing eye contact. It really looks like they're looking at you and at the children, and they're engaging. I mean, what are the challenges about working on a program like that?
Well, you have to learn it. You have to learn half an hour of script. So, you know, it's up to 30 pages of dialogue. If it's a read story, you know, where you sit in the story chair and you tell a story, you get the episode and you go, oh my God, I've got my 5 pages where I can actually just read a book. This is good. But then, you know, you're going to have to learn, you know, pages and pages of dialogue. So you really have to learn it as if it's a drama. So then you really are trying to connect with that person at home. You know, that's kind of the key to it, is that there's no auto cue. There's people are kind of, it's in their bodies, and it's been rehearsed and it's been learnt so that it can be performed.
Yeah. Well, thank you from all the parents, because it is such a great program. Good. So you're incredibly diverse. You're an author, an actor, musician, but all of these jobs are classified as freelance. And while now everyone knows and loves you, and I imagine that the tours, that people will be going to them and looking forward to them, all of that sort of thing. But your partner is also an actor. And once upon a time, you wouldn't have had that kind of guarantee that people were going to come to your shows, that sort of thing. How challenging is it to manage two freelance careers effectively, two creative freelance careers, and having a family? It's not just having your babies and that really intense period when they're little. They grow and have other requirements,
yes.
Financial as well as emotional. How did you manage that?
Well, I think it's a little bit make it up as you go along, because like you say, they do, their needs do change, particularly in high school, and it becomes a lot more about travel arrangements and being there for them before school and being there for them after school and making sure they're in their homework routine. And so I feel very lucky in that sense that I am freelance, because I can shape my work around what they're doing, which is great. The flip side of that is, it doesn't matter how, from the outside, how successful someone looks, you need to maintain that sort of level of work, you know, and the only way to maintain it is to keep working. it's a cliche, but it is a juggle. It really is. And it's about talking a lot to your partner. It's about scheduling. And then also for me, because I'm terrible at time management, just dreadful at it. So I'm kind of constantly learning how to get better at it.
Really. How to manage time.
How to manage time well, you know. Yeah. And also, I don't really want to manage time well. I don't want to live my life trying to manage my time. I don't want to be like that. So I think I fight with it. I fight with it all the time. But, you know, yesterday I picked up my son. I was able to go to my son's swimming lesson after school. And on the days when you feel like it's hard, you know, it's really hard work to kind of maintain that. So, you know, I go, well, here I am. I'm watching his swimming lesson. Just watch it and enjoy it. Because, you know, if you were 9 to 5, you would have holidays, yes, but you might not be here now. So just enjoy where you are in the moment. And I think that's a big lesson for me, is to just stay where I am and say, okay, I'm doing okay, and this is a good
is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I can get a little bit overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think lots of parents can relate to that. And look, finally, this one's a little bit cheeky, but I have to ask, because I put out the question to my friends on Facebook, because I do have lots of friends who love you. And I said, I'm speaking with Justine tomorrow. Does anyone have a question? And a very good friend of mine, and he's not the only one, has a little bit of a crush on you. And he says, he figures he's not the only one, and he wants to know, have you ever been at a concert or anywhere else where a dad or mum has made an inappropriate pass at you?
I don't think so, but I have
not
been.
Not that you noticed.
Not that I noticed, but I have been at shows where I've thought, there's a lot of dads out there. Maybe not so much anymore, but back in the day, yeah, I would hear, like, you know, you'd say, you could hear the audience singing along and you'd hear, I like to sing it. Quite a few. This is all right by me. That's good.
There you go. You're not alone. I won't name you. That'd be just embarrassing. Justine, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Such a pleasure.
Feed, Play, Love is a Babyology podcast produced and presented by me, Siobhan Hunt. I'd love to hear from you, so if you'd like to get in touch, email me at feedplaylove@theparentbrand.com.au. See you next time.